Welcome to the Pint and Click podcast. I'm Dave. I'm here with Jamie and Tony and special guest Charlie for this one.
Hello.
Today we're going to fill in some gaps. We're going to talk about all things technology. We're going to talk about phones. We're going to talk about music services. We're going to talk about fitness trackers, something that we don't usually get around to talking about because of our usual slate of books and music and movies. So we're going to talk about phones first. Actually, I need a new phone myself. Jamie, you need a phone?
I do need a new phone. It is time. Dying a slow, tragic death right now. So... I'm looking to move forward in my phone life.
Yeah, unfortunately, part of my touch screen is not working, and I guess I could get it repaired, but I'd rather just have a new phone.
That's how I feel. Sure. So,
Jamie, what in particular is going wrong with your phone? I'm always curious about like the planned obsolescence of technology.
Yeah.
Like, what goes first?
Well, in the past, a lot of what's gone first is doing different like touch screen things. It'll just like part of the screen wouldn't work sometimes. And right now I'm at the part of my phone where I have to restart it every so often. Things will just freeze. Apps I have to force close a lot. So it's a lot of tiny annoying things that make it the phone still functional where I could still use it, but it's just annoying to have to restart something 10 times a day. And I have an iPhone because when I got the iPhone, I used my MacBook Pro a lot. So it made sense to me to use that. I used iTunes. But now most of the stuff I use is Google-based, Google Drive. I have a Chromebook and everything. So I'm very interested in the Nexus phones. I've heard a lot of good things about them.
Yep, that's the one I'm using.
So sell me.
Okay, yeah. I think it's an easy pitch, in my opinion, because I was for a very long time opposed to paying anything for phones or paying more than the exact minimum I could possibly get away with paying. So like, I kept a flip phone for a while, and then I found out about this thing called Freedom Pop, which was like a zero a month type of internet service. But the only problem was is that you couldn't like make or receive calls when you were on the go or get texts when you were on the go. It had to be under Wi-Fi. It was kind of like an internet phone. So after I realized that that wasn't good on a number of levels, I did find out about and I had a Galaxy S5, so it was a decent phone, and I could have modern apps on it. I found out about this plan through a friend called Project Fi, which is a Google plan. So it brought the price of the Nexus 5S down to just $200 for a 16 gigabyte model. And basically, it runs off of T-Mobile and Sprint's network. So you get network in a lot of places. Like, it's rare that I'm not getting LTE, like 4G. So I really like it. And then the other unique thing about this plan is that it's a pay-for-what-you-use model instead of a flat rate per month. You're paying, the introductory thing is about $35, but the last $10 is for your gigabyte of data. So if you spend all of it, then you'll still pay the whole $35. But if you only use half of your gigabyte of data, then you're only paying about $30 for that month. And then you get it refunded or taken off of the next bill. I really like it because I'm under Wi-Fi almost constantly, unless I'm like out and about, which is more rare. So I end up going through about half of my plan throughout a given month.
So if you spend, let's say, or if you use like another gigabyte, how much more would that be?
I mean, it would stay at a $10 a rate.
Gigabyte.
So you can you can prepay the whole 2 gigabyte plan and you're paying, you know, 45 instead of 35. So and then you'll just get refunded.
Is that price individually or is that part of a family plan? Or
that's individually.
Okay.
If you wanted to go family plan, I just read some news about how they're just starting to adopt that kind of a system where you can share the amount of data you have with a family member or something like that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a little pro Nexus myself. I don't have one, but I've been a lifelong Android phone user. And my friends that have Nexus phones strongly recommend them. I have read on the internet that October 4th, they may announce new models. And they may actually call it the Pixel or a Pixel instead of Nexus now.
Okay.
So you might want to wait a couple weeks and see what happens from that. I don't know. This is just internet chatter. I can't guarantee anything.
But the prices might all drop on older models.
The prices may drop on old models and new models may be out. It'll be interesting to see. The articles I read, though, they are speculation. You know, they can name manufacturers and things like that. So they're pretty well sourced.
The other, like, really great appeal of the Nexus phone, I was even looking at the iPhones because they have such nice cameras. Nexus has a really good camera. It's a low light camera and it's at 12.3 megapixel. So that would be rear facing. So it's definitely competitive with all the major brands in terms of camera. And even though it's a lightweight phone, it just and it runs the Google's most recent operating system, whatever they're doing, because this is their like testing model, their flagship kind of model. If you're into that kind of thing, like testing out their newest versions and things like that of Android.
So it sounds like the Nexus is popular around here. Maybe that's because the iPhone 7 was just announced and kind of much maligned this announcement, particularly the lack of a headphone jack. How do we feel about that?
I feel like it would just be another thing I would have to purchase and another thing I would probably lose based on just if there's a cord, it's annoying, but also I can like kind of follow that cord back to the beginning part, whereas if I didn't have a cord, I would never be able to find it. And also just leads to so much waste. I understand, you know, they want it to be water resistant and then slimmer and whatever, but then there's just going to be all these phone cords that you can't do anything with. And it's just one of those things where I'm like, I'm sure it's better in the long run, but right now I'm annoyed by it.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. One of the great things about having a headphone jack is that you can use your own headphones, and they will invariably sound better than the earbuds that have come traditionally with Apple products, which most of the people I know just throw away after they open the package. But there are also other uses for that jack. I know that I have a podcast where I will interview people over the phone, and I will record to a digital recorder using the headphone jack. So if I was to upgrade my phone, I don't know how I would do that. I think there might be a dongle of some sort where you can adapt into a headphone jack, but then that will require me at some point to enter a Best Buy and say the word dongle out loud to somebody with a straight face. Yeah. And I'm just not ready to do that.
No, and would that adapt it through the lightning, through the charging?
Yeah, I think so.
So then you wouldn't be able to charge it at the same time that you were using something else. So
yeah, and they always talk about elegance of design, but it's so cumbersome to have something like that.
It seems to have all this on the outside now.
Exactly. Yeah. You're going to have to carry around so many little bits and bobs and stuff.
It's one more thing to charge. And it's also one more thing that can go wrong.
Yeah.
Like with an analog headphone jack, if you plug it in, then it works. And if it doesn't work, then you need a new one. But I've got a Bluetooth speaker at home, and it works most of the time. And that's just not good enough.
Sure.
And you'll need those headphones anyway, you know, if you're using your computer or, like, we're not going to get rid of those. You'll need those for other things. So then you'll need two kinds to carry around with you if you're using, you know, your laptop and your phone at a coffee shop. If you wanted to listen to both of them, you would need two kinds of things. Yeah. So,
and I think you mentioned this very briefly, but the Apple earbuds, and I'm assuming that the new wireless earbuds that they're going to be packaging with the iPhone 7 are basically the old earbuds, but without the wire.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And those never fit my ears very well.
Yeah.
And so I'm imagining if someone is going out on a jog, they'll just fall out, and then you'll be jogging back trying to find this tiny little bud.
Right. Yeah. For $140 or something like that, the AirPods?
And it just reminds me of in the olden days when all iPhones all had different types of chargers, and you just have to have a box of different kinds. Sure. And now it's pretty streamlined because most of them use the micro USB, which is nice because you and your friend could both not have iPhones and share chargers. But now the cords are increasing after they're decreasing. So.
Sure. There's one thing that bears mentioning that might, maybe this will turn into something, but they tout Siri being some kind of, you know, helpful interface that you have access to while you have these earbuds on. You know, I don't use Siri, or I do use voice commands a lot on the phone, but I don't know that I would use them more if I had earphones in. But to give you guys an example, okay, Google, this thing, if it wasn't on total silence, would actually be searching, and it is searching my words right now.
This thing would actually be searching, and it isn't searching my words right now.
That's a pretty good voice recognition.
Yeah, so I didn't even have to have earphones in for that to work. And it works when it's in my pocket and I'm like in the car or something. You have to unlock the phone for it to actually do the search, but I guess I could probably set that so I don't have to unlock the phone.
Right.
I also see so many people here at the library walking around with their headphones in and the cord going to the phone in their pocket. And I can't imagine that all these people that I see every day, every hour, are going to jump on board with an iPhone 7 and wireless earphones and expect that kind of same convenience, expect that same efficiency of design where it's just like I plug in my headphones and I go. Instead, I have to pay $140 for wireless or I need to have an extra adapter also in my pocket. You know, what if one of the connections breaks while I'm trying to walk around? What if it falls out of my ears? You know, that's just concerning. I don't understand who sees this change and is excited for it.
Right.
And also, Side note, I have long hair, so if I'm wearing wireless headphones, how are people supposed to know that I don't want them to talk to me? If they don't know, like, the cord is just the signal, you know? Mm-hmm. If it's coming out of, like, from the back or something, and if my hair is covering it up, they'll just think I'm a regular person, mm-hmm. so...
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
That's a good point, though.
Social cues exactly. are going to have to be reinvented, yeah. all because of the iPhone 7. So speaking of headphones and music, let's talk about the music services we use on these phones. What do you guys use? You use Spotify, Pandora, Google Music, iTunes? What do you like?
I'm a Google Music person, mostly.
I use Spotify and Google Music on my iPhone, so it's pretty... I don't use iTunes or anything, which is one of the reasons why I'm like, do I need this iPhone anymore? Probably not.
I do subscribe to Spotify, although most of the time if I'm looking for new music, I will go on Bandcamp or mm-hmm. something similar to that. But it should also be noted that I'm a Luddite who still has a whole bunch of vinyl, mm-hmm. and so my opinion probably should not be taken as as the consensus.
So that's, yeah, Spotify is great for what's popular, what was popular. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I subscribe to Spotify because I basically just want to listen to something that's extraordinarily popular and easy to mm-hmm. find. And so Spotify is all I do. But Google Music is, like, sounds archaic to me. Are you spending the money for the $1.99 per MP3? How does that work?
No. They have a paid subscription service where you okay. pay $7.99 a month. So okay. I did the trial for that, and it was nice not having ads. Mm-hmm. But I think it's very comparable to Spotify now, the way it's set up. You can opt to listen to your own music and make your mm-hmm. upload your own songs that you yeah. have left over from Napster or whatever.
Oh, sure.
Or you can use their streaming service, which has a great library, maybe not as universal as Spotify's library, but it's very extensive. And I use Google Music because it has awesome playlist recommendations. Mm-hmm. It'll, you know, say, it's Monday afternoon. Listen to something for, you know, Monday motivation or for keeping calm, you know.
Okay.
And then when you click on keeping calm, it's not just one playlist. You get to choose from about four different things. You see the artists that you're going to be listening to. And it even describes them as almost like a DJ would describe it to you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you kind of know what you're getting into. And I don't know, you're just surprised I'm surprised all the time by the different music I hear, but also the songs that I love that also show up on those playlists
mm-hmm.
that they don't even know that I... Well, it's Google, so they know everything, but somehow they know that I listen to like Evett Brothers yeah. or something, and mm-hmm. they, you know, put them on frequently.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I only use Google Music right now for the music I already own, which is actually a lot of audiobooks. So I just use it as the portal to do kind of like what we think of as iTunes traditionally, where you're listening to stuff you own already. And I use Spotify for everything else, the same way you were talking about, Tony, to find things. Mm-hmm. But I am kind of getting sick of the same playlists they keep recommending to me. They do have a lot, and they constantly update them. But in my 1 year of listening to the indie workout mix, it's pretty similar the whole time. So
yeah,
maybe I should try Google's versions to see what they have.
Never hurts. And it's free. You'll get an ad. Like, they're not that frequent, mm-hmm. in my opinion, so... Oh, and you get like free subscriptions when you do Google Fi, so that's mm-hmm. another.
Oh.
You get like 3 months of
so
free.
I'm
so
like
synergy,
into, yeah,
synergy, exactly.
Yeah.
Anyone use Pandora still? I used to use it a lot, but I don't pay for it anymore. No,
not really.
The songs would tend to repeat. So Pandora is just like a radio station, and you set up different genres or playlist types, but you don't select a song. You don't pick an artist directly and just play the song that you want to hear. They kind of stream stuff to you that's in the same vein. And I thought that was cool for a while, but then after months and months, I started hearing the same songs over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's some kind of licensing back end where the record companies are like, put this song in because we'll pay you money to do it. And so I got tired of it pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
So usually I'm on Spotify and usually I'm just like, oh, I'm going to listen to this album today.
Mm-hmm.
No playlists, just kind of the old-fashioned way. Let's listen to all 10 of these songs from this album.
Mm-hmm.
When that album's done, I'll put on a new one.
Yeah.
Mm. Anyone into Tidal?
No, I'm curious, though, because I miss my Jay-Z. He used to be on Spotify. But...
Yeah, there are a lot of artists who have become Tidal only or have been Tidal only. I know that Prince is one example of an artist who didn't want his music on Spotify because of the poor audiophile quality.
Mm.
But
okay.
I think that you do have to pay $10 extra to get full, lossless, high-resolution sound.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But if that is something that is important to you, Tidal is really the only way to go for streaming. Of course, if you're streaming CD-quality audio, like, you can't be on a 1 gigabyte plan because you listen to 3 albums and it's gone.
Sure.
Yeah.
But they do have just regular streaming like Spotify quality if you don't want to pay the extra $10.
Yeah, I think that's just the $10 introductory option. And yeah, I like Tidal in theory, but it seems like nobody likes it in practice. I don't know. There's this wonderful video of Kanye West saying, yeah, you can get my new album on Tidal. And someone in a crowd behind him says, nobody likes Tidal. Someone said, I like Tidal. See, this guy likes Tidal. I don't know. I think it was extremely hyped as being the artist-friendly way of doing it. Mm-hmm. And
they didn't sell it to the consumers necessarily.
Yeah, it seemed very self-aggrandizing the way it was marketed at first.
Okay.
Does it have a robust selection like Spotify? Does it have the Beatles? Does it have Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd?
Yeah, I think it does. I think that they have the same major label contracts as Spotify and Google Music and presumably Rhapsody. Is Rhapsody still a thing?
I have no idea.
I haven't thought about Rhapsody in forever.
So maybe I should check it out because I do miss my Jay-Z albums. There's only a couple still on Spotify, the collaborations especially, but none of the Blueprint.
Right.
So that's unfortunate. So maybe that alone will sway me to come to the other side on Tidal.
You can test it out for us and be the we'll find out whether you approve or disapprove.
There you go.
Get the real scoop.
Out of curiosity, how much money do you all spend on streaming services per month? So that would include Netflix, anything that you're renting in that case.
Oh, my goodness. Let's see. It's $10 on Spotify, $10 on the WWE Network. What is it? $8, $9 now on Netflix? Mm-hmm. I actually don't pay that. My roommate pays that. We have an agreement where he pays for Netflix. I pay for HBO.
Okay.
I think that might be it. Though I'm thinking of putting in a couple of Patreons, which is a whole different thing. But,
a couple of what?
Patreons.
What is that?
Totally off topic.
Okay.
It's like Kickstarter with monthly fees.
Okay.
Instead of donating $50 up front, you donate $5 a month to someone to do whatever.
I've heard about this in relation to something else. Is it Patreons?
Sometimes pronounced Patreon.
Okay.
That's how I've heard it sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah, or if like there's a podcast that you might listen to that needs funding or they're looking for funding for directly from their listeners, they can have a Patreon and different people might subscribe for like $3 a month or something.
So like an e-patron.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think that's it. Not counting, of course, cable. If you count cable as streaming, I do not, but one
old school streaming.
Do you have Amazon Prime, which you
could consider? I do not. Okay. I used to, back in the old days, 4 years ago, something like that, when it started, Amazon Prime was the only one that had The West Wing. So I went ahead and signed up for a year of that. But then once The West Wing showed up on Netflix, and I canceled my Amazon Prime, and I got by without it.
Mm-hmm.
What about y'all?
I mean, I just signed up to Amazon Prime, and then, I mean, a Netflix account is shared with my family. So I think they have, like, a family plan for, like, 12 a month or something. Mm-hmm. So we just do that, and I can get by with just those two.
I have Amazon Prime with my husband and then a Netflix account with my immediate family. So there's five of us on it. I had Hulu for a couple months, and then I watched all the shows that I wanted to watch, and then I canceled it.
Sure.
And we have HBO through some other thing we have in a bundle with that.
I think I probably, considering how often I watch the things on HBO Go and Amazon Prime and Hulu and Netflix, probably one of them should go at this point. Especially considering I just bought my girlfriend all 7 seasons of The Golden Girls on DVD, and we've just been watching that. I know I have subscribed to Showtime just to watch one show and then just binge it over the month and then cancel it at the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, there's Spotify. So I would say probably in the 50, 60 ballpark.
Mm-hmm. That's getting up there, I feel. I thought it was
no cable.
But no cable. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yeah.
So
I don't have cable either.
Okay. Right. I have cable with an agreement with my housing association. So I'll always have cable forever. Which is kind of fortunate and unfortunate. I'm used to it at this point. Like, it's still kind of nice to have. Though, I did think of one more. I do have Twitch Turbo for Twitch.tv, which is a video game streaming service. And I'm considering YouTube Red because I watch a lot of Twitch TV wrestling on the WWE Network and Giant Bomb through their website or through YouTube. And that's kind of all I watch. I don't watch Netflix so much. I get movies from the library, and then I watch hours and hours of these other shows. So I'm kind of thinking, like, if I get Twitch, Turbo, I got to remember all these brands now, YouTube Red and WWE Network, that's kind of all I watch. I don't watch You know, I watch Game of Thrones. I watch something here and there, but, you know, I don't sit and watch Netflix like I used to.
It's interesting because I remember in the days where you would have to buy these really expensive cable packages, people would always say, oh, I only watch like three or four channels. I wish I could. And we're kind of getting into that model where you can just pay for this. I mean, slowly, you know, with HBO Now and things like that.
Yeah, not so much through the cable company, but subscribing.
Yes, through subscribing like, through these different services.
Bits and pieces to the other services. Yeah, that's true.
Plus, I mean, Netflix at one point for me, it was great for finding something new, like maybe finding a new movie. But at this point, it's like there's so much on the watch list that you don't even really need the extra catalog of shows or the benefit of having cable of like stumbling on something because you have stuff to watch. You know what, you know, what you might be watching next in a certain, to a certain degree. So
the thing I feel like is lacking in not having cable is that serendipitous, like you were saying, stumbling upon something.
Sure.
Everything I watch or consume basically is because I'm looking for that specific thing.
There's not the drop and watch where a Wayne's World 2 is on, I have to watch this now.
Exactly. And that's actually one of the main reasons why I'm thinking of doing Sling TV is they don't have a DVR function, but it's a stream service, $20 a month that you get some sports like ESPN and ESPN2, but you get like some of the other cable channels that air movies. I did the 7-day trial and like Conan the Barbarian was on and I was like, great, I am totally having this on a like a second screen experience and it'll be really nice to have it playing because otherwise this movie would be way too slow and boring to watch by today's standards. But then I got to see the horrible like practical effects that they use and just think, wow, this was awesome and cool one, you know, one day in the past. So anyway, I wouldn't necessarily bring myself to check out Conan the Barbarian from the DVD shelves, but I was happy I found it that day.
Sure. I do have to add, this very day, this very morning, that happened to us when Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure was ending, and we watched the end of that, and they went straight into Bogus Journey, so I watched the end of the first one, the beginning of the second one, before coming into work today, and it was a lot of fun to watch this movie that I'd never pick off of Netflix. I'd never say, I choose to watch Bill and Ted right now, but when it's just on, it's a lot of fun sometimes. It's a lot to pay for cable to have that sort of experience where you can just watch what's on, but it is fun here and there. That's one thing. Maybe Netflix should have playlists and you can just tune in to the comedy station and see what's on right now.
That'd be great.
Maybe that's the gap that they need to close.
Yeah.
So moving on from streaming services, after we're done sitting and watching all this TV and listening to all this music, we're going to talk about fitness trackers. Again, this is probably something I should get. I've never been sold on one, though, because they don't sound all that compelling to me. But who uses what? Who's got Fitbit? Who wants a Fitbit? Are there others out there? I hear Tony's got an interesting one.
Yeah, I got a Withings Activity Pop. I've had it for like 9 months, and it's great because it looks like a watch, and it's an analog watch hands, and it, also an analog fitness tracker that will count the percentage you are to your daily goal. So my daily goal is set to 8,000, and I'm about halfway there. So sometimes I'll be glancing down, and it'll look like I'm looking at my watch, but I'm really looking at how many steps I've taken that day. So it's a nice like incognito way to like
stealthy.
And it's not unstylish. It's nice to have on, and just it's black and it goes with everything. So like I can just keep it on and forget it. It's water resistant. Doesn't matter if you like shower with it on, you won't damage it. So I find the app really usable. It's just the only thing is since it's not a mainstream brand, it's like no one is on this app. Like I wouldn't be able to find people if I tried, probably.
Sure.
I mean, unless I wanted to like a Reddit forum or something.
I had a Fitbit and I bought it refurbished off of Groupon. So it was probably around $80 for the Fitbit Charge. And the new version, the Charge 2, is out for $150 right now. And that one tracks your heart rate, which is one of the reasons why I wanted it. And so it's about one of the mid-range ones. It doesn't look like a watch necessarily, but it does have that heart rate capability. So it's a little higher than their lowest one. And I really liked it when I first got it. It taught me a lot about my sleep patterns, which I was really interested in. And I got into some challenges with some friends because, as you were saying, Tony, with Fitbit, a lot of people are on it. So I did have a lot of people, you know, challenge me to different things. And it did motivate me. But after a month or so, I felt like I learned all the data that I could possibly know about myself. And then it wasn't really telling me anything new. The reason that people continue to use it is because they want to be able to track their day-to-day activities and how many steps they're going on. But for me, I wasn't as interested in that. Thus, it just kind of lost its purpose. And some days I wouldn't get to my 10,000 goal. And then I just stopped looking at it as much. And just usually it ended up functioning just as a watch. And then it broke. And Fitbit has a really good return policy. A lot of my friends have had theirs break or, you know, wreck theirs in whatever capacity, and they return it very quickly. But since I bought mine refurbished, I couldn't do that. So I got used to not having one for a couple weeks. Then a friend gave me her old one, which was the same model. And then I just didn't start picking it up again. Mm-hmm. So I guess I really liked having all that data at the beginning, but then did not compel me to continue to use it. Mm-hmm. So
what other data is there? Because I only hear about steps, and that just sounds boring to me. Like, what mm-hmm. else does it track? What else can you look up on the app?
My sleep was the reason I got it. I have really poor sleep, and I wanted to see if there were any trends that I could find out. Mm-hmm. And it shows you when you're in deeper sleep, and they track that depending on how much you're moving in the mm-hmm. middle of the night. So you can see when you're in lighter, when you're in deeper sleep, when you're awake fully, depending on how much your body is moving. And so it'll show you a nice little graph saying you're awake for this many minutes this past night, you were asleep from this hour to this hour. And you can see it. My husband and I would always compare each other's, and his would be like awake for 3 minutes all last night, and mine would be like awake for 1 hour, 26 minutes. So it would always be very depressing. Yeah. So that's interesting, and it tracks your heart rate at every point when you're wearing it, so literally all day. And it'll show you a graph, so you could see in the past day, in the past week, you could see at every moment what your heart rate is. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting, and you can see, you know, when I'm working out, my heart rate usually goes to this level, or if I'm sleeping, it's at this level. But again, you can kind of see patterns. And so if you're not interested in it, to try to track your actual steps, which, mm-hmm. again, is the reason most people use it.
Sure.
But yeah. I did not choose it for that purpose as much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this has kind of a rudimentary sleep tracker. I think it's motion-based, so I don't know if it doesn't track your heart rate, so I don't know if it really knows if you're in deep sleep. But I find it useful because, again, you can set goals for sleeping, which sounds mm-hmm. kind of funny. But if you just generally function better with 8 hours or 7.5 hours, mm-hmm. just setting that goal, and then your phone will give you, you know, notification. Congratulations, mm-hmm. you actually slept mm-hmm. how much you were supposed to. It just feels, you know, and then you can kind of go through your day with that reassurance. But if you really were curious about how long you were up for last, you know, if you woke up to 2 or 3 times in the evening, yeah, it's nice to see that and be yeah. like, oh, wow, yeah, that second yeah. cup of coffee wasn't a good idea. I'm really interested in the Charge 2 when mm-hmm. it, you know, now that it's out, and it's just looks really interesting in that I want to get more into like interval training, and you need to know your heart rate yeah. for that. And it'll just be nice to take that. Even if you're at the gym, you don't have to use the.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So.
And another thing the Charge 2 does that the original one doesn't do is it kind of leads you through breathing exercises depending on what your heart rate is at different times of the day. And I think that's really interesting because it can help people with, you know, if you're having anxiety or stress mm-hmm. or something, it can lead you through these kind of like more deep breathing stuff. And I've noticed more Fitbit-like trackers that are more based on mental health instead of physical mm-hmm. health, mm-hmm. where they do track your heart rate and things like that. But instead of tracking steps, it'll also be more focused on you keeping on like a steady heart rate or just monitoring all your biofeedback to make sure that you're not overly stressed or whatever.
Yeah, I know we're talking a lot about the Charge 2, but also I think I heard that it'll send you little vibration reminders to get up and move mm-hmm. if you want to do something like that. So
that's a good idea, especially for us, because we're sitting at the front desk or sitting in our back desk. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to get up every hour, every half hour, something like that, and we can lose track of that easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you're married, this thing also has like a silent alarm. So if I wanted to wake up a half hour before my wife and I didn't want to set an alarm that would wake us both up, I can just have this vibrate and wake me up.
And it'll also tell you if you have texts or calls and who they're from. So that was really helpful for me because my phone was usually buried at the bottom of my bag on silent. And if I see that it's just a spam call, I'd be like, I'm not going to spend a minute to dig through my purse and find my phone. But if it's my mom, I will do that.
Right.
So.
Or it's just, like we were talking about earlier, it's a little bit stealthy. It's a little bit more respectful to just check your watch and go back instead of when you're in a conversation with someone or somewhere, to dig out your phone and look at it. You can just check your watch, and that's much more agreeable than to check your phone in the middle of a social encounter. I was hoping Pokemon Go would be my fitness tracker, but I've heard bad things about it. It doesn't track your distance walked very well. Like, people will walk 2 kilometers, they know it's 2 kilometers, and they get credit for like 1.25, something like that. I know the Pokemon Go Plus is coming out, which is a little wrist-worn button that you can press to catch Pokemon. But I don't think that does any of this tracking, certainly not for $35. So maybe I'll have to let go of that dream. Or Pokemon Go Plus would be my fitness tracker.
But it should be noted that I discovered on my iPhone 5, the same phone that you're trying to get rid of, that there is a little heart icon. And this thing had been tracking my steps as a pedometer for about a month and a half before I noticed that it was there.
That's awesome.
And since I spend a lot of time walking around with my giant headphones, I was pleased to know that I do average about 8,000-9,000 steps a day.
Oh, all right.
But at the same time, I looked at it and I thought, huh, that's neat. Kind of creepy. And then I forgot about it again. So that's how I know that I don't really need a Fitbit, because it just seemed like a novelty that I was able to forget about.
Sure.
I'm walking as much as I should. Rad.
What I want is something that will just be in my body and track every bite of food I eat and tell me how many calories there are, so I don't have to manually input it myself. Yeah. Once that comes out, I will be fully on board.
Chip that can read your blood sugar.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Some people are like really concerned about privacy and things like that. I want to give computers all of my knowledge and all of my data about myself so I don't have to think about it anymore.
I'm with you. I'm not so worried about, you know, people are concerned about, what if the internet knows my heart rate? I'm like, who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I feel like it'll just make things more tailored to what I would need.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, and once we can upload our brains to the cloud, so many of these problems will be solved.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, they really will play your theme song as soon as you, like, hit a certain heart rate. And, you know, then it won't be, like, coincidence. It'll be the power of computing, smart computing. I actually was just reading about that. That's didn't just come up with that myself. But, yeah, they're planning, like, I don't know if it's Google Music or something else, but, you know, working with your tracker to engineer the perfect playlist of songs that you like, but also that matches your heart rate, which I just thought was...
Just matching up the beats per minute with...
Yes, I think
with,
so.
With how fast you're running.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Spotify does that, too, that I use.
Nice.
All right, so that was our discussion on technology, filling in a couple of gaps there. We got to talk about phones, talk about music services, talk about fitness trackers. We hope you've had as much fun listening as we have talking about them. And we'll see you next time on the Pint and Click podcast.